Lawyers like to think of the law as an ultimate tool, a normative guide for behavior, an ethereal yet incredibly powerful force. But Katrina made clear last week that the law isn't all that. The hurricane crushed people and homes and cities and left in its wake what we're calling lawlessness, a time when law has no ultimate power, when the norm is that the law comes second, if that, to survival and desire, and when it's a tool of frustration that stands between families and friends and home. The law began to buckle just as Katrina's first winds began to blow, when officials called for a mandatory evacuation. Under the law, Louisiana can direct and compel the evacuation of all or part of the population. Compel means it isn't optional. But then we have this. In the hours before Katrina hit, a young mother explained to a reporter on CNN that she loved her baby with all her heart and would do anything for him. No, she wouldn't be leaving the Gulf Coast because she and he had no place else to go. They'd ride out the storm together. I wonder what's become of them. Poverty, it's clear, has far more power than law when everyone's told to get out. The day after Katrina, we heard that the national poverty rate hit nearly 13%. That number, higher in so many of the hurricane-affected places even before the hurricane hit, is a clear answer to the question from the exasperated richer, why didn't they just leave? Poverty causes people to weather the storm, no matter the law. Poverty and the things we celebrate as a nation in better times, optimism and bravado. It's the darker side of human nature, of course, that rejects the criminal law. We watched as looters in New Orleans waded away with others' television sets and hangers full of clothing because police would not stop them. Looting, by that very name, is a crime in Louisiana. Those convicted go to prison for at least 3 years of hard labor, as the statute puts it, and pay at least $5,000 in fines. But the penalties mean little when no one will make an arrest, and only a conscience prevents a crime. There are many more examples. Our states have price-gouging laws, but gas prices have skyrocketed. Statutes allow for curfews in times of emergency, but people wander the streets at night. We have regulations that mandate where dead bodies go, but blanketed corpses wait outside the New Orleans Convention Center. Even our Constitution promises domestic tranquility. Those laws, those words, have little meaning in New Orleans right now. Social scientists and economists likely knew it all along. The law is a useful, equalizing, wonderful thing. But in really bad times sometimes, other forces can take over with the same sort of pounding we saw from Katrina. Then law has about as much power as the paper it's written on. We don't learn much about lawlessness in law school. Instead, with our own sense of optimism and bravado, we spend our days debating how modest adjustments in legal regulation might squeeze out marginal improvements in the law's social control. A new and humbler sense of perspective on the power of law is not the least of what Katrina left behind. I'm Amy Guida.